gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Another jam-packed celebrity hotline today. Peter Harbridge, senior fellow at the Center for American Progress on the Celebrity Hotline to talk about the healthcare town halls. Representative Alison Schwartz, Democrat of the great state of Pennsylvania. Next hour on the Celebrity Hotline, StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Oh, heavens. The president had his town hall yesterday, and he had to, the president of the United States had to actually explain that he is not trying to kill your grandmother.
This idea that somehow the House of Representatives voted for death panels that will... basically pull the plug on grandma. I am not in favor of that.
He actually got a big laugh at that.
Yes, he did.
Even the fact that he had to say it. Well, just when you thought it couldn't get uglier, what's just yesterday, Chris? What's the roundup? There's a lot more shouting. Guy brought a gun to the who was outside the president's town hall.
That's right.
Swastika drawn on another black Democratic congressman's office. Mm-hmm. And the Arlen Specter, Claire McCaskill, among others, shouted down. This is at the Arlen Specter town hall.
One day God's going to stand before you, and he's going to judge you and the rest of your damn cronies up on the hill. And then you will get your just desserts. I'm leaving.
Okay. We've just had a demonstration of democracy.
Yeah, except that they're parroting all the right wing talking points that are completely incorrect. Did you see the other woman that stood up and said she was referring to Specter, a 74-year-old man with cancer like you. We wouldn't let him live if we have the program we have now.
Why?
Exactly proving
you
our point.
Moron.
He's on a government program.
Yes. You want to be on that program.
That's
yes.
The program. That's his
That's
point.
Why he's alive. My God.
Oh.
God, the dump of this country.
Literally. She said you would be killed if we didn't have the...
Yep.
I don't even...
There's
all right.
A lot of morons out there.
Wow. Yeah, it really is quite stunning. And it's getting very beyond scary and ugly out
yes,
there.
Yes, it is. I think the Secret Service is going to have to be enhanced. Maybe a special army unit to guard the president.
What are we living in? How many security guards a lot of these Congress people are having to hold? The ones that are having them that haven't had death threats.
And there should be places where guns are not allowed. Where in the Second Amendment does it say anyone should have a gun anywhere for any reason?
Yeah, did you see that guy on Chris Matthews trying to explain why he needed a gun at a town hall?
No.
Like, that wasn't meant to be threatening, the sign he had and the gun he had outside the president's town hall.
The tree of liberty must be watered with the blood of tyrants or something like
that? Yeah, that's Thomas Jefferson.
Yeah, like that wasn't vaguely threatening.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, there isn't a lot of just out-and-out racism at a lot of these... events. Anyway, political dirty tricks. Huh, speaking of which, Karl Rove. Oh. Gosh, Jim, this will shock you. I don't know if you've heard or not, but apparently he was deeply involved in the firing of the attorneys.
Wow, who could have seen that coming?
Yeah, nobody could have seen that coming. Karl Rove.
I had a responsibility to take allegations of a misuse of the office by a United States attorney and put them in the hands of the appropriate people so that those allegations could be reviewed.
Uh-huh.
The charge was that the U.S. attorney in New Mexico was treating an indictment in a completely political fashion.
No.
Ha.
You fired him because he wasn't being political enough.
Yeah, because he wasn't sufficiently loyal to the
God
Republican Bush administration. Okay.
Ugh.
Wow. All right. Let's see. Julie in Seattle writes, Mama, Meghan McCain is turning into a fine American of sports, despite being raised by Grampy and the V-Lizard. Here she takes down the hideous Michelle Malkin and the other crones clustered around the gaseous right-wing cauldron, Laura Ingraham and Ann Coulter, for trying to expel her from the tiny little cult of angry white people commonly known as the GOP.
Yeah.
Why, maybe she'll turn out like Ron Reagan and Stephanie Miller.
Yeah. Oh, wouldn't that be something?
She's the kind of Republican that I could get behind.
Yes.
And in front of.
Here's a quote. If people like Michelle Malkin and Ann Coulter think they can bully me into giving up this fight and what I'm doing, they're going to be severely disappointed. Who said that?
The V-Lizard from... No.
No, I just...
Meghan Mullally?
Meghan McCain? No, not Meghan Mullally. Oh, I bet she thinks that.
Yeah.
All right. Speaking of which, this is a carryover from yesterday. However, I think it's very prescient in this whole big government screaming, shouting at the town halls about health care. Who said, so what saved us from a full replay of the Great Depression? The answer almost surely lies in the very different role played by government.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. Probably the most important aspect of the government's role in this crisis isn't what it has done, but what it hasn't done. Unlike the private sector, the federal government hasn't slashed spending as its income has fallen. Tax receipts are way down. The Social Security checks are still going out. Medicare is still covering hospital bills. Federal employees, from judges to park rangers to soldiers, are still being paid. All of this has helped support the economy in its time of need in a way that didn't happen back in 1930. Who said that?
Henry Wallace.
No, Paul Krugman. You know, it's pronounced Krugman.
Yes,
I heard that.
In an article, how it really is essentially big government that has averted economic disaster in the United States right now. Jim, there's a theme. And yes, this means that budget deficits, which are a bad thing in normal times, are actually a good thing right now. In addition to having this automatic stabilizing effect, the government has stepped in to rescue the financial sector. It's possible to be dissatisfied, even angry, about the way financial bailouts have worked, while acknowledging that without these bailouts, things would have been much worse. Who said that?
George Wallace.
Paul Krugman in another unbelievably on-point article in the New York Times. Who said the point is that this time, unlike in the 1930s, the government didn't take a hands-off attitude while much of the banking system collapsed. And that's another reason we're not living through Great Depression, too. Last and not least, but by no means trivial, have been the deliberate efforts of the government to pump up the economy. From the beginning, I argued the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, the stimulus, was too small. Nonetheless, reasonable estimates suggest that around 1 million more Americans are working now than would have been employed without that plan, a number that will grow over time, and that the stimulus has played a significant role in pulling the economy out of its free fall. Who said that?
Howdy Kruger.
No, dummy. Paul Krugman.
Krugman.
Oh, I almost said Krugman when I was calling him a dummy. Okay, can I have my fine American music? I just have to read the rest. This should be required reading for all Americans debating health care. All in all, then, the government has played a crucial stabilizing role in this economic crisis. Ronald Reagan was wrong. Sometimes the private sector is the problem and government is the solution. Mm-hmm. And aren't you glad right now the government is being run by people who don't hate government?
Yeah.
We don't know what the economic policies of a McCain-Palin administration would have been. We do know, however, that Republicans in opposition have been saying, and it boils down to demanding that the government stop standing in the way of a possible depression. I'm still very worried about the economy. There's still, I fear, a substantial chance that unemployment will remain high for a very long time. But we appear to have averted the worst. Utter catastrophe no longer seems likely, and big government, run by people who understand its virtues, is the reason why. Paul Krugman. Like many of our Congress critter friends, I don't mind having a debate about health care. There are a lot of things to talk about and to disagree about, but that's the things they're yelling at these town halls.
Communist kill!
They're proving our point, and they don't even understand why.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it keeps getting repetitive because the same stuff keeps happening. But people screaming about government health care that are on Medicare.
Right.
And the woman's screaming at Arlen Specter. He's on a government program. It's just,
You wouldn't be alive if you had a government program taking care of you. I do have a government program taking care of me. That's why I'm still alive, you dumb.
Oh,
dear.
Never mind. It's a nation of Emily Latellas.
Yes.
Listen,
you stupid whore.
I wish you would say that.
I know. It's time to take the gloves off.
It's people on Medicare screaming at government employees about how we don't need government health care.
I know. It's like we're in some weird parallel universe.
Yes.
And it's just,
how do you spell? That's okay. Mm-hmm. That's how you spell.
All right. Let's check some other news we don't want to lose, shall we? Here we go.
Yippee. It's time for stand-up news. And now, here's anchor person Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. When news breaks here, it stays broken. Our top story. Republican governor said Monday that Americans are justifiably frightened by health care proposals, but stopped short of embracing Sarah Palin's suggestion that President Obama would require the elderly and disabled to appear before a bureaucratic death panel. As they moonwalk quickly away from Caribou Barbie, we have Caribou Barbie.
Oh, no, you don't. You don't go around behind my back and call me a loony to my face, not if you know what's good for you. You know I'm right, and that the socialist fascists are going to include euthanasia in this evil health care bill. And I, for one, sure don't know why children in Japan and China are going to get health care that Americans can't get because of the death panels that can't hear the crying of the babies as they're taken away from their grandmothers who are being ground up to feed illegal aliens right there in their spaceships, you betcha. Also, too, when the commies take over Medicare and the VA and Social Security and hand them over to the government and turn them into the Department of Mojo Vehicles. Kind of like when we did it on the back of Todd's snow machine, don't you know, as well, besides. Boy, howdy, that was sure some coverage. Making you wait and wait and wait for an hour and a half at least before you get your license to kill your senile uncle. It's un-American. And I swear to you, I'm not going to rest until this is overcome. Me and Todd on the snow machine again. Hee hee. No matter how long it takes and whether it's good for Alaska or not. Okay, I quit. As well, in addition, moreover. See you next time. Wink. Winky wink.
She probably is the kind of, she gets that radio show they talk about. She'll probably say wink, since you can't see her.
Yeah.
She'll just say wink, so you can picture it. Okay.
God, I can't stand her.
And finally, oh, here's a surprise. That GOP rebranding effort, that's flamed out.
Oh.
That's, oh, gee, I thought it was catching on like a house fire. Representative Eric Cantor, Republican of Virginia, generated the kind of buzz other politicians covet when he launched his bid to help rebrand the Republican Party last spring.
They generated buzz?
Yeah, you remember the TV crews and reporters, they were a bit that pizza parlor.
That
in
was
Arlington,
buzz?
At the,
I think there was a fly in the room.
Yeah, I don't think that...
At the strip mall there, where they offered their ideas for America or... Whatever. Which I believe was a free twisty bread.
At the Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah.
And later on, they went for a sundae at Farrell's.
Yeah, and then someone hit Mitt Romney with a colored ball, and it was all over. The resulting coverage dominated cable news chatter for the next week, but the council has since flamed out, at least publicly.
Oh.
Since its launch, the National Council hasn't had a single public event.
Other than that, it's going great.
Yeah, we have the ad.
Sunday at Smokin' GOP Drag Strip and Pizza Parlor. See the National Council for a New America with the best rear-end fuel Republican talking points in the country. The biggest stars in the GOP try to break through the 29% approval ratings barrier. From Virginia, see Madman Eric Cantor push his non-listening listening tour all the way from C Street to K Street inside the Beltway. From Ohio, the Bronzenator Smokin' John Boner inhales explosive nitro fuel neat with water back while applying the undercoating. No, explosive. From Massachusetts or Utah, nobody's really sure. Watch Catcher's Mitt Romney let the dogs out. Woof, 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 woof. And see the Milfinator shotgun Sarah Palin field dress the competition in her hot air-fueled snow machine. And then abruptly quit the race because it's the best thing for Alaska. Also to you betcha, bringing it back to you. Sunday, see partisan political activities fueled by taxpayer dollars. Watch misguided vehicles for 2012 Republican hopefuls flame out, flip over, and crash into the stands. It's Schadenfreude Sunday at the D.C. Beltway. Don't miss it.
Oh, that's soothing. This is all for stand-up news. I'm here all week. Tell your friends if you like more Jim Ward, fall the roll.
Jim Ward's apocryphal but true. There's a trial ad at stephaniemiller.com. And take you right there. Buy the album, why don't you? Thank you.
Thank you. All right, 20 minutes after the hour, swastikas and guns and shouting, oh my, we'll tell you the latest from the town halls as we continue with the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ooh, even I found that to be in bad taste.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Kevin in D.C. on the guy with a gun outside the president's town hall. Hi, Kev.
Yes, I got yet another education that we are not quite post-racial in the country yet.
Do you think?
Yeah, just a slight hint. I was thinking that Professor Gates, a couple of weeks ago, whatever it was, you know, got arrested in his own home for the huge crime of mopping off a cop. What mm-hmm. a horrific crime. He got arrested. Yet this white individual with a loaded gun outside a presidential event, nothing happens to him. Now,
yeah.
What would happen?
How do you get anywhere near a presidential event with a gun?
Yeah, I mean, I wonder what would happen if my person of my tan was outside Bush's event with a loaded gun.
Yeah, you can't even be outside Bush's event with the wrong T-shirt on without getting arrested.
Yeah, and by the way, I didn't comment, Chris, when you commented on the Professor Gates thing a couple of weeks ago because I was a little annoyed. I think you were being a little tooly.
All right, let's move forward. We're not looking back. We're looking forward now. So, yeah, he was carrying a sign referencing the Jefferson quote, "The tree of liberty must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants."
Yes.
Which,
in a context of
civil
the president,
revolution,
sounds a little threatening.
He didn't mean, murdering the president.
Yeah.
Which has happened before, by the way.
Okay, and it continues, the signs with the swastikas. The swastika was tattooed on a black congressman's office.
Did you see the little girl carrying the sign outside of the president's town hall yesterday?
No.
It said, "Obama lied, Grandma died."
Oh, my God.
That seems
little
fair
girl.
For debate. I'm sure she thought of that herself. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
The
president
that was the,
yesterday.
Bush thing.
Mm-hmm.
For all the scare tactics out there, what is truly scary, what is truly risky, is if we do nothing. If we let this moment pass, if we keep the system the way it is right now, we will continue to see 14,000 Americans lose their health insurance every day. Your premiums will continue to skyrocket. They have gone up 3 times faster than your wages, and they will keep on going up. Our deficit will continue to grow because Medicare and Medicaid are on an unsustainable path.
Yeah, that's the thing about people going, "I like my insurance fine just the way it is."
Until you get dropped.
Oh, I'm sick. Wait, where's my insurance company? I thought you were going to be here with me all the...
Well, where's my rebate from all the money I paid you over the years?
What?
Yes.
I don't get my money back? What the...
I don't...
Hey!
I thought you loved me, Etna. Michael in Chicago. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
You know, I think that the Democrats are making two mistakes, and that President Obama soundbite played a little bit of it. He needs to focus on what's in it for me, and why is this a crisis for me? You know, the Democrats.
He did.
Yeah, I know, and he's starting to do that, and I'm happy to see that. But those are the only real questions that people care about. Mm-hmm. The people who care about what's
well,
good
but he
society,
said it right. But he said it best, didn't he? That you know, are you when you say you're happy with your insurance, you're happy with the cost of it, and you're going to be happy when it keeps going up, which inevitably it will.
Absolutely, and those are the two questions that he needs to focus on. And it doesn't, you know, if it's good for society, those people are with us already. They understand it's good for society, and they understand it's the right moral thing to do. But people tend to be self-centered, to the people who oppose us, and he's got to make it into a selfish consideration why they need this. And secondly, I think the more town hall meetings that the Democrats put on, the better.
Yeah, well... Assuming they can afford the security.
Yeah.
All right. Peter Harbidge, Senior Fellow at the Center for American Progress, next on the Celebrity Hotline as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Remember when I said I'd have to send away to NASA to calculate your bar tab? The results came back today. You owe me $70 billion.
It is the Stephanie Miller
Show.
Drop
in the bucket for you.
33 minutes after the hour, 1-800.
I'd settle for $70
million. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Yes! yes, it has gotten worse overnight, in case you haven't heard. We've got shouting and swastikas and guns outside town halls. If only there was someone that could jump into the fray and yes,
hey,
who is it, Jim?
It's that senior fella at the Center for American Progress, Peter Harbich.
Good morning, Peter.
Good morning. How's it going?
I'm fine, sir. You not only are a fancy senior fellow, but you teach at my alma mater, USC, I understand.
Oh, that's great. Absolutely.
And you teach probably the hard courses, not the really easy ones I took for dopes.
Should we try to teach a little bit on healthcare? So,
yeah.
So it's going to be the tough one.
Well, you know, you must be sort of slack-jawed at some of the what's happening at these town halls. Are you?
You know, this is, on some level, this is to be expected. There's a lot of important issues here at stake, and people have a lot of questions, which is good. What isn't good is how some groups are going out and, you know, ginning up a lot of concern with misrepresentations.
Well, that's what we were saying, is a lot of the things that they're shouting actually proves our point. You know, and they don't even seem to understand that. I don't know. We've been talking about the woman that said to Arlen Specter, a man in his 70s with cancer like you wouldn't survive under this plan. And he's on a government plan. That's why he has survived.
Exactly. Arlen Specter has survived because he has some of the best health care in the world. And what health care reform is trying to do is get that kind of care to everybody. So some of it really is just shocking what people are saying.
Well, it's not even just saying, but, you know, this congressman, the black congressman in Georgia, David Scott, who had a swastika painted on his office. I mean, he said he's getting, the hate mail he's getting with the N-word, calling he and the president the N-word. He said there's so much hatred out there for President Obama. Some of this, you really get the feeling, is not about health care, don't you?
Absolutely. I think some of these issues that people are raising, which are just totally made up in terms of concerns about health reform, it really does have the feel about being something else, something broader is happening with people. Some of it doesn't feel like it's about health care at all.
Right. I mean, we just played a clip earlier, Peter, that the President of the United States actually has to stand at a town hall and say, I'm not for putting your grandmother to death, by the way. I'm not for that. I mean, does anybody even that doesn't like the health care plan really think the president really think that he thought of a death panel for government to decide who lives or dies? I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's like the debate, I think, is just way worse than I even expected.
Some of it really is just off track.
Doesn't
make any sense.
What I'd like to get to, Peter, what we're talking about, what's in the bill and not things that are not in the bill. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of these, I looked yesterday, in addition to all the incivility, what people were shouting are things like, oh, we're giving free health coverage to illegal immigrants, and things that aren't in the bill.
Yep, it's exactly what's happening. I mean, again, there are groups out there who are encouraging people to go out and shout these things and shout these lies about the bill in order to stop it. And you just mentioned another one. There is no health care coverage for illegal immigrants in the bill.
Well, listen to this one. This was one of my particular favorites. Diane Campbell of Kingston, New Hampshire, held a sign with President Obama's face superimposed on a Nazi stormtrooper. A sign, she said, that was made by her chronically ill mother, who's on Medicare. I mean, her mother's disease is treated with expensive transfusions paid for by Medicare. Her sister was born with no arms and one leg, is also covered by Medicare. And she says outside this town hall, Peter, Adolf Hitler was for exterminating the weak, not just the Jews and stuff, and socialism. That's what's going to happen.
It's hard to understand how anyone could think that that's what health reform is talking about. So that's why I think you're right that there are larger issues that are going on here.
Well, what do you think are the major stumbling blocks in getting this done? Because it's hard to know if what we're looking at is just lunatic fringe, and as the president said, this is going to pass. I mean, what is your take?
There are actually policy questions that are worth talking about and understanding in the bill. I mean, the biggest one really is how to fund change. And, you know, we spent 40 years creating this broken healthcare system, and it's not going to be free in order to fix it. And so how are we going to raise funds? How are we going to save money in the healthcare system? The good news is the current system is so broken that even just making small improvements, you can cut waste and fund coverage for more people.
Well, you know, I know there's things. I mean, a lot of listeners have called in, Peter, and it talked about the price of their medicine. I mean, that alone, you know, if people really think that the insurance should cost this much and, you know, medicine should cost this much, I think you're right. That's one of the first things, is bringing the cost down.
There's so much paperwork that's involved in healthcare. Just finding ways to streamline that, finding ways to, you know, if your insurance company is supposed to cover something, just covering it instead of having them make you fill out form after form to get the money you're owed. You'll save a lot of money that way.
Well, Peter, and it stuns me, doesn't it, that somehow the right wing has been able to mobilize these people to stand up for insurance companies, essentially, at these town halls. They're not fighting for themselves. They're fighting for, you know, and who did I, you know, read this insurance company executives makes $100,000 an hour. And that's what these poor people, some of whom don't even have health care, they're standing up for.
Yeah, again, it's playing on people's fears. You have a lot of folks out there who are making a lot of money off the current system, and so they're playing off people's fears. They're trying to find ways to use scare tactics to get them to these town halls and get them all excited to really make arguments that are against their own interests. Like you were saying, this woman whose family's on Medicare. Health reform is making sure Medicare works is absolutely in that family's interest, and that's what we're trying to do in health reform.
Yeah, and but that's the level of debate we've gotten to, Peter. She thinks the, you know, correct way to debate that is to show up with a sign with the president in a Nazi stormtrooper outfit and talk about how this is socialism, which, you know, has probably essentially kept her mother and her sister alive, you know.
It's it doesn't make a lot of sense.
Well, thank you for helping us try to make some sense of it. Do you remain optimistic this is gonna happen?
Absolutely. There's going to be a healthcare bill. It's just a matter of how big and what we're going to be able to get done. But we're absolutely going to get something done this year.
Do you think there's actually going to be a public option in the bill that ends up getting signed?
I think that's one of the big questions right now. You ask some people and they say there will be. You ask others here in D.C. and they say that there won't be. I think the public option is one of the biggest questions on the table.
Wow. Well, I mean, the 80-something member Progressive Caucus has said you won't get one vote from us if there's not a public option in it. So, I don't know.
Absolutely. And there are people on the other side who say you're not going to get their vote if there's one in it. So
yeah.
It's a toss up. It does much better in the House than it does in the Senate.
Yep.
Are we going to end up with it using reconciliation, do you think?
It's possible. I think right now it looks like just about it. Looks like just about anything's possible.
Yeah.
But we could see reconciliation.
Yeah. All things are possible. Yeah, all things are possible in healthcare reform right now, and I'm not sure that's a good thing. but Peter, thanks so much for taking time for us. Peter Harbage, Senior Fellow at the Center for American Progress. Thanks so much, Pete.
Thank you.
All right, we appreciate it. There he goes. Wow, he's a professor at USC. He sounds 12.
He kind of does. But he knows his stuff.
And yet he's 1,000 times smarter than me.
Well, that's why we booked him.
He doesn't teach any of the dumb courses I took, the Rocks for Jocks. And
no. Whatever.
Whatever else I took.
Differential calculus for dummies.
I was a theater major like you. I did mostly classes where I had to pretend I was walking through Jell-O or something. 42 minutes.
Diction classes.
Which prepared me for this magical future that I'm soaking in. 42 minutes after
because
the hour.
Walking through Jell-O is so required in radio.
We're doing it now.
The speech exercises helped. You would do speech warm-up, wouldn't you, Jim? Like, say, Bumblebee Mom. Bumblebee. That's my theater teacher. Say, Bumblebee Mom. Bumblebee Mom. Bumblebee.
Stands on posts
now, brown
and thrusts
cow.
Her fists against the posts and still insists she sees the ghosts.
Wow, we just took up airtime for that, for our little flashback. Okay, 42 minutes after the hour, back with, how the right is spinning the town hall mobs as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, it's a cross between beautiful and gross. I want to cry and vomit.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 47 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Brian in Miami on the healthcare town halls. Hi, Brian.
Hi there. Now, Sarah Palin kind of was freaking out about these whole death panels. I wonder if she ever realized that there are a couple of states in the union that do have death panels. In particular, Texas, where George W. Bush had signed a bill
yes.
back when he was governor there called the Texas Feudal Care Law that would let hospitals decide that it was not worth taking care of you anymore and could dump you off and make you scramble to find someone else that would. There were cases back then about little girls being having their feeding tubes pulled mm-hmm. and people being mm-hmm. denied their advance directives because the hospital decided, hey, it's just not worth taking care of you. You know?
Yep, exactly. That, by the way, one of the other foremost advocates of expanding Medicare end-of-life planning coverage is Johnny Isaacson, a Republican senator
yep.
from Georgia. It really, it just, the whole thing is so disingenuous. He was befuddled, by the way, that this had become a question of euthanasia, termed Palin's interpretation nuts.
Yes.
And emphasized that all 50 states currently have some legislation allowing end-of-life directives. You know, the article about this actually makes a good point. When Rush Limbaugh misuses a word, he knows his loyal following will become a nation of parrots uttering gibberish without thinking about its meaning. When Bill O'Reilly suggests some sort of cockamamie jihad against those he disagrees with, he ought to know that his loyal following will become a nation of robots, and sooner or later, one of them will pull a trigger while aiming a gun at someone they've been taught to hate. Abortion doctors, women, successful
yes.
students, whoever is in O'Reilly's sights at the moment. And if you don't think what's happening at these town halls is getting really, really scary, you know, when you have death threats to congressmen who have to cancel their town halls, when you have somebody bringing a gun outside the president's
mm-hmm.
town hall,
mm-hmm.
when you have congressperson after congressperson just being shouted down. You know, the point is not to talk about health care. And then these Nazi signs everywhere. This is what cracks me up. Nancy Pelosi was not making a Nazi analogy. She was simply commenting on what we
right.
all can see on TV and online. People are bringing swastika signs with the president's face in them, with a
little Hitler mustache on Obama.
Yeah.
It's SS symbols.
So Jewish groups, as you might imagine, are a little upset about the whole, yeah.
And thanks for playing Really Bad Analogy.
I believe I tried to declare a moratorium yesterday on Nazi analogies.
Yeah,
but,
you're a Nazi.
Thank you.
Call
but,
Eva Braun.
It has triggered a fight among Jewish groups over which party is abusing the Nazi analogy. Limbaugh was commenting on Pelosi's assertion that some protesters at town halls bore swastika signs, which is true. You could choose commenting that that doesn't seem appropriate to her. She wasn't calling anybody a Nazi. Then Rush Limbaugh went on to call essentially the Obama health care plan Nazism, and the Democratic Party is the same as the Nazi Party.
Yeah, it's a liberal black Nazi. Yeah. Figure that one out. Republicans are always doing this. I guess they have a guilty conscience or something. They keep saying that Hitler was a socialist. Remember, it was the National Socialist Party.
Yeah.
As if the worst thing Hitler ever did was federally subsidized housing and the Autobahn.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I know. All right. By now, you've probably seen on the TV the Specter Town Hall, the Senator Claire McCaskill Town Hall, just melees.
I reviewed 3,200 best I could. To me, it is obviously written with the assumption that government has the right to control our lives from pre-birth to death. For that reason, it's not worth considering. It's not worth modifying. It's not worth amending. It needs to be dumped totally.
In Georgia, Representative Hank Johnson told his constituents not to be deterred by reports of town halls gone wild, but he wasn't taking any chances. About 15 police officers, triple the normal security detail, were on duty Monday evening in case things took a turn. Guards filtered participants through a metal detector. Audience members were warned that shouting would not be allowed. I just can't believe this is necessary on a subject this important. Representative Brian Baird of Washington said the lynch mob mentality surrounding the forums led him to hold a conference call last week instead of an in-person forum. He said, when you see friends targeted by death threats and you see well-meaning and well-intentioned people shouted down, threatened, menaced, and our constituents suffering the same fate, it's frustrating. This is not American. It's dangerous. Let's skip down to a, oh, give me a Senator Claire McCaskill yesterday. They just, that's the thing. How do you respond if you're a senator or a congressperson?
I don't understand this rudeness. What is this? I don't get it. I honestly don't get it. Do you all think that you're persuading people when you shout out like that? Beg your pardon? You don't trust me? Okay. I don't know what else I can do. I don't know what else I can do. If you want me to go home.
Yeah! Just die! Kill her!
Exactly. And their response to any of those points was... Okay. Wow. She's, by the way, very, very moderate. And, you know, just doing her best to try to show up, answer questions. And what are you going to do when people are just there to shout insults at you? I mean...
Yeah, we win!
Tim and Madison, it's like a monster truck rally or something.
I know, isn't it fun?
Tim and Madison, all right, go ahead.
You know, I look at it like this. We can say whatever we want today on the radio. We can say all our points correctly. The problem is Fox News is not airing anything except their evil spin that they can screw with every one of their viewers. And they're yelling more and more and more. They did not air any of the president's town hall meeting yesterday. So any of their answers that any of their viewers possibly could have got from this wasn't said.
Yep.
You look at what's going on. Fox News is spinning this so perfectly. I think what someone really has to do, someone in the Democratic National, kind of almost like a Watergate, except just go pour a big bucket on their transformer and see if it won't short out.
Yeah, it really is amazing, especially when there is evidence. There is written evidence. I can't remember who it was. This congressman was on TV yesterday. He's reading the memo from Bob McGuffey. He's like, "This is what they're told to do: is disrupt these things, shout out, throw the congressperson off their game. Don't blah blah blah." It's like this is in writing.
Yes.
Would it be wrong for me to hope for Roger Ailes to get a horrible disease and I won't do that then.
Okay.
I am angry. How these people, these town halls are being treated. This woman, Katie, you know, to be attacked the way she was attacked today, just for expressing her First Amendment rights, this man with his child in a wheelchair, this elderly woman that confronted Arlen Specter at a previous meeting, you know, how dare these people call them names and tell them to shut up and compare them to Nazis?
What? They read the right-wing talking points perfectly. How dare you?
Does Sean Hannity not understand that free speech goes both ways?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go to...
He's kind of dumb that way.
John and Ithaca.
She just refers to Amendment rights. She was expressing to other people were trying to talk.
Hey, Stephanie.
Hey, John.
I'm just a little comment. I think that's really, remember that Obama refused to go to do a debate on Fox, and this is probably, even though it's regular Fox stuff, it's probably major payback from Fox in their mind. Anyway, you got to remember also the little Latin lesson. John Wilkes Booth, after he shot Lincoln and jumped off the onto the stage at Ford Theater, uttered the same kind of words that this guy said in New Hampshire, in Portsmouth. He said, "Always thus for tyrants, sic semper tyrannis."
Right. Yep.
That's a state motto of Virginia.
David in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Huh?
Hi, David.
Oh, hey. Cut right to me real quick. I haven't heard this talked about much, but I just thought it was strange that, you know, amidst all these death threats that it's on the president that has supposedly jumped by 400% since Obama took office, they suddenly decide to release Squeaky Fromm from prison, you know, who made an attempt on President Ford.
Yep.
It's like, what do they take into consideration when they... you know, let somebody out of jail for a crime like that, you know. I didn't think they ever let people out of jail for that.
Yeah, no, I know. I look at it. That would be my main question. How's a guy with a loaded gun get anywhere near where the president is about to speak?
Yeah, he was outside of, you know, he never made it inside.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. I feel better. Okay, with a sign of with blood of patriots and stuff.
Whatever.
That could be construed as a threat.
Mm-hmm. Okay, 50s. 7 minutes after the hour. Is the right still trying to claim that the president's trying to kill your grandmother?
Yes. Computer says yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. We'll be back with that and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. I got something caught in my throat. It is Stephanie Miller
Jim,
Show.
Jim, I told you not to leave that there.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number toll free from anywhere. I'm sorry, I was distracted by looking at the cat playing with a theremin that
yes.
you were looking at online.
Someone posted a link to it on YouTube up in the live blog section of StephanieMiller.com.
Mm-hmm.
People will post the oddest things up on YouTube.
Proving once again my point, and that is cat people are weird. And I submit for evidence our favorite website, catswholooklikehitler.com. Speaking of Nazi analogies going around these days.
Yes.
Dog people aren't.
And as it turns out, there are more cats who look like Wilford Brimley.com than cats who look like Hitler. Who knew?
Although I dare say that dog people are weirder because cat people don't French kiss their cats.
That's true.
It just happens by accident sometimes with your dog. It's not, you know, it's not intentional. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. You can see my handsome boy, Max, there. He's your boy. Okay. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Crystal Boy, voice deity, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Representative Allison Schwartz, Democrat of the great state of Pennsylvania, this hour on Celebrity Hotline to talk about the town hall situation. In case you haven't been paying attention, we have swastikas and yelling and guns.
Yeah.
Oh my.
Yeah, and Allison Schwartz, of course, from Pennsylvania, which is where our inspector had
got shouted down yesterday at that town
yes. hall. Yeah.
All right, the president yesterday.
People who want to keep things the way they are will try to scare the heck out of folks, and they'll create boogeymen out there that just aren't real.
Thank you. All right. Okay, guess what, Jim? We have the best healthcare system in the world.
What?
For those who have access to it.
As someone who said to our inspector yesterday.
I just ask that we not destroy the world's best healthcare system.
Oh, my God.
With the stroke of a pen on a bill many of you have not even thoroughly read or researched.
Oh, my God.
There's not even one bill.
Well, I hear your concerns, and you are reading from the House bill, and I can only repeat that that's not a law, and there'll be very careful consideration to the ideas that I've heard here and the ideas you have when I go back to Washington. I'm getting an earful, and I'll take the message back.
Actually, those of you keeping track, we are, what are we, number 37?
36, right? I think.
30, yeah, or 36.
Yeah.
Yeah, we spend more than any country in the world. We are actually 36. Who was near us? I can't remember.
Costa Rica and Slovenia.
Slovenia, yeah. We've been faced by Slovenia.
Ljubljana, Slovenia.
Although I think we're ahead of a whim away.
Good to know. Good to know.
Wonder how many of those people have no health insurance? Who are applauding the best, the greatest health care.
Yeah, or how many of those will lose their health insurance as soon as they get sick. Okay, Karl Rove, who, as it came out yesterday, should probably be in prison. Over the attorney, shows you with the documents, Jim, show he was deeply, deeply involved in the firings of the U.S. attorneys. Huh, instead of being in prison trading cigarettes for his life, on the O'Reilly Factor.
We don't need a government insurance company to compete with 1,300 private insurance companies in order to guarantee competition. You know, that logic would say that on the other essentials in life, you know, automobiles, we need a government automobile company, we need a government food company, we need a government clothing company, all so that we can have competition. We don't need that.
Oh, really? We don't need competition. Huh.
Yeah, well, looks like from the looks of it, the auto bailout is working. Ford posting profits, cash for clunkers, wildly successful. Okay. And by the way, in most metropolitan areas, there are two. There are two insurance companies for that entire area. I don't know what he's talking about. Oh, there's all kinds of competition now. They don't need any regulation.
You know what would help, though? is if insurance companies were nationalized. Right now, they can only be, you know, state by state. They can only compete within, you know, within states. They can't compete nationally. So, you know, if healthcare companies were nationalized, that would help with the competition.
Tommy in Columbus with some healthcare fun facts for all y'all. With all the fear-mongering about Canada, didn't you love the Canadian guy that called in yesterday?
Yeah.
Sorry to butt in here. But
Sorry. I thought I should mention that things work pretty well up here, eh?
There are no waiting times, eh? Sorry to butt in. Anyway.
That was so cute.
But, I mean, just unbelievable fear-mongering. This from HaroldOnline.com. The U.S. and Canada's different health insurance decisions make up the world's largest health policy experiment. And the results? On coverage, all Canadians have insurance for hospital and physician services. Mm-hmm. There are no deductibles or copays. Most provinces also provide coverage for programs for home care, long-term care, pharmaceuticals, and durable medical equipment, although there are copays. On the U.S. side, 46 million people have no insurance. Millions are underinsured, and health care bills bankrupt more than 1 million Americans every year. Lesson number one, a single-payer system would eliminate most U.S. coverage problems. On cost, Canada spends 10% of its economy on health care. The U.S. spends 16%. The extra 6% of GDP amounts to more than $800 billion per year. The spending gap between the two nations is almost entirely because of higher overhead. Canadians don't need thousands of actuaries to set premiums or thousands of lawyers to deny care. Even the U.S. Medicare program has 80% to 90% lower administrative costs than the private Medicare Advantage policies. And providers and suppliers can't charge as much when they have to deal with a single payer. That could save us $800 billion a year. $800 billion for those two screaming about money.
Sorry to point that out, but your system blows. I mean, I wouldn't even get up off the Chesterfield to get that system, eh?
Faye in Tulsa, she has sent me a story, Chris, which had made me wish that I have one of them fancy Cadillac health insurance policies.
The kind where it pays to get your teeth whitened?
Well, and also cosmetic surgery for my hoo-ha.
Uh-oh.
Ah, rejuvenation.
More women apparently are demanding cosmetic genital surgery. Stephanie, you have often referred to yourself as a woman with many updated parts. Just wondering whether your hoo-ha is still the original.
Computer says, yeah.
Yes, and in addition, it's never been touched. Or have you succumbed to the knife in this most private area? That area? No.
Computer says no.
I am not. I am still
any other error.
I'm still a virgin. All right. At any rate, you know, I think I need to start drinking more is what I need to start doing. I'm watching this town hall stuff last night on TV. I believe I opened I cracked an extra box of wine last night.
Did you really?
The experts say women are drinking more and DUIs are up.
Oh, yes.
See, but this is, again, how I am doing my part to save America is, as you know, I never leave my house.
That is true.
I'm an elderly shut-in, so I don't, you know.
If you had kids, you'd send the kids out to get the wine for you.
Well, yes.
Yes.
Well, because they're saying this horrible accident. The woman, that's where I used to drive home every day. The Taconic, this woman that, you know, she had the kids in the car. That's what they're saying. So I, by being a single loser, also saving America that, and as we all know, peeing in the shower. I pee in the shower. I'm saving the planet. I am having no children for any extra carbon footprint.
I can't believe there are so many people out there who do that. I'm shocked and disgusted.
I know. See? That's my point. If more people would be single, childless losers, elderly shut-ins like me, it would be a better world.
That pee in the shower.
Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to feel better about myself. All right. Let's go. Let's see. There's no one there to see it. It's like a tree falling in a forest. All right. Buddy in Columbus, you're on.
Yeah,
the...
but it aerosolizes in the steam.
It does not.
Yes, it does.
Buddy in Columbus, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hello, buddy.
Hey, Mama. In the big scheme of things, a lot of these people, their behavior would not be acceptable in a kindergarten classroom. And there's, you know, and we're losing perspective of things. And I got two things of really good news. Number one is we're a much better country because Eunice Shriver lived here.
Yeah.
When I was in college, we had special needs people come and use the student union. And this one guy had a gold medal he won. And every time he showed me, and every, no matter how I felt that day, when that guy showed me that gold medal, I felt better.
Mm-hmm.
And the second thing is, it got no attention, but Al Franken got his first bill he authored passed. And you know what it was?
Mm.
That socialist loser. It was to get helper dogs to our wounded soldiers.
Yep, exactly. As he's had a long history of helping the vets.
Nazi.
Let's hear it for Senator Al Franken. Let's hear it, Bill O'Reilly. I'm sure even Bill O'Reilly will applaud him for that, being as he's helping the troops and all.
I am proud to stand before you as the next senator from Minnesota.
Thing sucks!
Ha ha!
Hey. Jim in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Jim.
Hello.
Hello.
That slogan about the Tree of Freedom, that Thomas Jefferson quote, that was on the T-shirt Tim McVeigh was wearing when he blew up the Mirror Building.
Oh, interesting.
So
yeah.
The guy wasn't there just to show off his Second Amendment rights. He was also there to say, hey, I'm just like Tim McVeigh.
Yeah, which, that's the thing. You know, which Democratic congressman was it that pointed that out, that a lot of this rhetoric is you know, the kind of stuff we heard from the Tim McVeighs, then it's like right away the right wing spins it, that, oh, they're calling anyone just like their health care plan Tim to a terrorist.
I think it was Brian Baird of Washington, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. Oh, all right. The president yesterday, thank God, by the way, at his town hall, he was treated respectfully. You know why?
Why?
Because I said so yesterday. Okay. I said I certainly hope they will not treat the President of the United States like that.
They had a little more control over who they let in than Congress people.
Yeah, just
did.
A touch.
There's been a long and vigorous debate about this, and that's how it should be. You know, that's what America's about, is we have a vigorous debate. That's why we have a democracy. But I do hope that we will talk with each other and not over each other. Because one of the objectives of democracy and debate is that we start refining our own views, because maybe other people have different perspectives, things we didn't think of. Where we do disagree, let's disagree over things that are real, not these wild misrepresentations that bear no resemblance to anything that's actually been proposed.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like I was saying, we're spending so much time having to debate things that aren't even in the bill. You know, Arlen Specter yesterday had to say he wouldn't support a bill that extends coverage to illegal immigrants. None of the bills in Congress would provide health insurance to illegal immigrants.
Right.
So it's like,
lies.
That's how you can tell their right-wing talking points.
You're going to give health benefits to Martians. It's in the bill.
It was in that screechy Dick Morris letter we read yesterday that he sends to everybody. Brian in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, I think we all agree about the lunatics that are going to shout over the Congress people at the town hall meetings. I just heard something alarming on the other side I wanted to bring up, get your take on it. They're claiming left-wing organizations and progressive groups are starting to do the same through community websites like Craigslist.com, that they're actually paying people paychecks to come in and basically do the same thing and shout the other point of view. And I just wanted to, again...
There is nothing I've seen anywhere that encourages people to go shout at these town halls. That's the problem. It is in writing. The Bob McGuffey memo for which one is that? FreedomWorks or whichever health insurance industry funded group.
Mm-hmm.
It is literally telling you, disrupt this meeting. Go and shout. Don't throw the congressman off his game. Don't even let him get through his opening statement. Blah blah blah. You know, I've gotten letters, from the president talking about, that he sends out to everybody saying, please go and voice your support. It's not urging disruption like they are on the right. 20 minutes after the hour, back with the right-wing spin on the town halls as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This whole place just feels like a warm blanket.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Hold the phones. It has just gotten to a new level of mean in the healthcare debate.
Yeah.
If you thought the guns and the swastikas and the shouting at senators and congressmen was not bad enough, Senator Chuck Grassley.
Yes.
said that his colleague Ted Kennedy would be left to die in Britain because he would be considered... If we had the system like that, like some woman shouted at Arlen Specter yesterday that a man like him with a, in his 70s with cancer under this system they're proposing would die.
Arlen Specter's still alive.
Yeah, he's alive because he's on a government plan.
Yes. And Ted Kennedy would not be left to die, despite the fact that his father was a bit of a Nazi. But, well, not a Nazi.
Oy vey. Okay.
Didn't like the British terribly much, which made him an odd appointment to the Court of St. James. Anyway.
All right. Let's go to Mike in Georgia. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hey, Mike.
Hello.
Hello, Mike. Go ahead.
Hey, I want to know if the senators and congressmen are going to have the same plan that I have.
No, they have a better plan than you have because they have a government plan.
I understand that, but I'm talking about if they pass this.
If they pass this bill, will they have a better plan? Well,
they have the same plan.
No, not if we have meaningful health care reform, you'll have the same kind of plan they do.
That's what I'm saying. I want the very same thing that they have, and I want them to have the same thing that I've got.
Well, then fight for meaningful health care reform with a public option.
Well, I don't believe it'll ever work out that way.
Well, then you need to fight harder for it.
Yeah, it'll be your fault, Mike.
Okay.
It doesn't pass. All right.
I think he was trying to trap us.
Yeah.
We didn't fall for it.
No.
We're smarter than we look. Mm-hmm. David in Detroit, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Dave.
Hi. Wanted to make a comment about the Canadian healthcare system. I'm an American citizen who moved to Canada about 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I still work in the U.S., so I have both healthcare systems. I use both of them. And contrary to what people believe, the Canadian system is not free, at least in Ontario. The government of Ontario, or province, I should say, actually starts charging people a tax that cannot be reduced. You can't reduce it with a deduction. You can't not pay it. I happen to pay $750, even though I don't really use it. I can't get out of that. And that's relatively new. That was only introduced, I think, about 5 or 6 years ago. Prior to that, you weren't paying anything extra. So something to think about with the U.S. system
it's
contemplating.
$750 a year?
Period. Was that a year?
I'm sorry?
$750 a year?
$750 a year,
yeah.
Which is not much.
Okay.
And
yeah.
It's almost the same
You pay that in taxes, you mean, to have health care?
It is a separate line item on my Canadian tax.
Mm-hmm.
I have the privilege of paying both countries' taxes.
Right.
So on my Canadian tax form, there is a separate line item at the bottom that says $750.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I think most of us would $750
a year
for the kind of health care that you can get in Canada.
Instead of what we're paying now? Abso-freaking-lutely.
Let me think about this. And then everything is free? Yeah, okay.
Wow.
I'll take that deal.
Sign me up.
What a Stalinist hellhole. there was also that guy. Who was it who said that this, if Stephen Hawking were on National Health?
Some guy from Investors Business Daily.
That was it, Investors Business Daily. They apparently assume that since his voice modulator doesn't have a British accent, he doesn't live in Britain.
Yes, but he lives in Britain. He teaches at Oxford.
Yes, it is keeping him alive. Thank
it's
you. Okay, Andy in Illinois.
Hi, thanks, guys. I just wanted to let you know that actually there are these death panels. They're right now in the insurance room boardroom, insurance company boardroom.
Thank you.
They're making the decisions.
Yep.
Yeah, I just can't get. People deal with insurance companies every day. How do you not get that is rationing?
Yes.
And believe me, if you haven't been denied, you will be for something, or you'll lose your coverage if you get sick. 28 minutes after the hour, back with Representative Allison Schwartz of Pennsylvania as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show. Question number one.
Stephanie Miller.
Have you ever gone a day without wearing underwear? I'm so sorry, I'm better than this.
No, it's not. Frequently.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33
well, have you?
Minutes after the hour. I think we all know that I go commando. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere.
Every day is Operation Commando Eagle for you.
Thank you.
It's an eagle without underpants. Operation Commando Eagle.
Eagles don't like embarrassing panty lines either. Okay, Rebecca in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Rebecca.
Hi,
Hi, I just wanted to make fun of Chris a little about his fear of people peeing in the shower.
Yes.
About how he's saying that it gets aerosolized and you breathe it.
Yes.
Well, the astronauts that live on the space station, they recycle their urine and convert it into oxygen and breathe it.
Well, yeah, through filters and high-tech stuff like that.
There how do you know I don't have that in my shower?
Because,
yeah, how does he know?
Because you claim you're not rich enough to afford something like that.
Well, I have that. I have whatever NASA has.
Sure you do. Did they have to wheel it in on your bridal path?
Atticus in San Jose, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hello.
I want to say I am a medical social worker, and I work for the County of Santa Clara, and I've worked my entire adult life, you know, working for the county system. Mm-hmm. And we see on a daily basis patients who, you know, the consequences of people who have not had health care, and we're constantly fighting to get people health care. And it's strange. I got to work this morning. There was a chain letter email that was sent out saying that, you know, if we go into socialized medicine, that all of our elderly will be killed. Mm. And it even said that the reason Natasha Richardson died was because she injured herself in Canada. And if she had injured herself in the United States, this would not have happened.
Yes.
But, you know, this is really frightening me for a lot of reasons. And I really, I love Obama, but there's sometimes when his coolness is just a little bit disingenuous, I think. And I think what should be done is that nationally we should have a town hall debate on all the stations, and that includes Fox if mm-hmm. it ever wants to be considered.
Well, I disagree with you, Atticus, about the president. I mean, you know, what are you going to have the president shouting back at people? No, you're a Nazi! I mean,
I don't want it to get to that level, but he has to be much more forceful. I mean, there are people out there with limited information and not too sophisticated. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think Arlen Specter made the same point yesterday that we've made, and that is, he said, you know, part of the problem is, he said, you know, there isn't a single plan to promote, and this is why I was saying, you know, in my opinion, the president perhaps needed to get involved earlier. And I mean, I'm not saying it's too late, but I think that the issue is already complex, Atticus. And then on top of it, there isn't a single plan. So when you got people chanting, read the bill, there isn't a bill yet. There's
sure.
a bunch of them.
But I think it would be really helpful if we had it on national television with all the stations, and people mm-hmm. could present, you know, their proposals, and people can express yeah. their fears and can be discussed rationally.
And hopefully. I wish you were at a town hall, so when you made a good point, everyone could yell, Atticus, Atticus.
Stop it. I'm sure he's heard that before.
But the thing is, the Republicans are using really emotional appeals. And
no, they're not.
We always fight back with dry intellectual. Liberals have always made the mistake that if you lay out a cogent, rational idea, people will understand. No, it gets lost in the noise.
Right.
And Republicans know that very well.
We need to fight back emotionally.
Right. Arlen Specter said that yesterday. He said that the objectors have gotten ahead of the curve, meaning he's fighting about things that aren't even in any of the mm-hmm. bills. He asked why he cited talk radio, among other factors. That's the thing. It's like all these mm-hmm. right-wing radio hosts who were on a zillion stations can, you know, gin up all these people that don't know any better, that just assume that it's mm-hmm. true if Rush Limbaugh said it. Arlen Specter yesterday at the...
I don't believe this is just about health care. It's not about TARP. It's not about left and right. This is about the systematic dismantling of this country. I'm only 35 years old. I have never been interested in politics. You have awakened the sleeping giant. We are tired of this. This is why everybody in this
tired
room is so ticked off. I don't want this country turning into Russia, turning into a socialized country. My question for you is, what are you going to do to restore this country back to what our founders created according to the Constitution?
What?
I think she means where black people were slaves, not president.
I mean, back to the...
I get a fairly firm message from the support you have, young lady. When you ask me to defend the Constitution, that's what I've been doing.
So they want the health care standards of the 18th century?
Yeah.
No and anesthesia?
Bleeding, and, you know, bleeders.
Yeah.
Barbers.
Barbers, yeah, using dirty razors to mm-hmm. amputate your leg.
Mm. Well, in Missouri, Senator McCaskill was peppered with questions about health care for veterans, seniors, and illegal immigrants, and provisions funding abortions. Once again, abortion not in any of the bills. None of the bills would provide health insurance to illegals. One man was arrested there after allegedly taking and ripping a sign from a woman that showed a picture of Rosa Parks sitting on a bus with the words, First Lady of Civil Rights.
Mm-hmm.
Gee, do you think there's maybe a racial tinge
to any of this?
Spectre said there is more anger in America today than any time I can remember. I've been mentioning this all morning, but the Georgia Democrat, a swastika was found painted on a sign outside Representative David Scott's office. It occurred roughly a week after Scott was involved in a contentious argument over health care at a community meeting. Scott said he has also received an email in recent days that uses the N-word in reference to him and characterized President Obama as a Marxist. He said, we've got to make sure the symbol of the swastika does not win, that the racial hatred that's bubbling up does not win this debate. There is so much hatred out there right now for President
Obama.
And
it's being ginned up by the Republicans and Roger Ailes. They're doing this.
Yeah.
And it's deliberate.
Yeah.
And that's all they've got now are the racists. Yeah.
People like Mary Madeline helping with this whole, death panel idea.
You say President Obama will not
allow...
Oh,
I'm sorry. Mary Madeline. Let's skip to cut 16. This is yesterday on the Situation Room.
You've been sold a principle that this whole health care reform is about cost cutting. You go, oh, my God, this is a new program, so it's not cutting costs. But how would you cut costs with an end-of-life consultation? Well, you would accelerate the end-of-life process. It's a common-sense thing.
God.
Okay.
Boy, the sex must be really incredible between her and Carville.
You know who was not only the smartest boy in class, but at this town hall meeting? I think this is a guy from our blog. David Matayabas?
Yes!
Yes! He's ours! He's quoted it.
I think that's Trisec?
On the blog.
Yeah.
On the Stephanie Miller Live blog of Massachusetts.
And he's quoted Four Freedoms as well.
Yes, yes. He's quoted in here saying, I think they're ill-informed, they're not very smart, and they're regurgitating talking points from Rush Limbaugh. Said Matayabas, who was recently laid off from Athena Healthcare in Massachusetts. At one point, he said Athena.
Is it Athena?
Yes.
Okay.
Hmm. He said he worked at one point on the board trying to figure out how to deny claims, which, as Jim has pointed
out,
is how they make money.
Yeah.
It's figuring out how not to pay.
Right. Take money from people and then not fulfill the service that they are.
That was the same town hall, by the way, that he was at, that the woman with the president's face in the Nazi stormtrooper.
Yeah.
And she's the one that has the very, very sick mother and sister who are both on
Medicare. Medicare.
But she doesn't want the socialized.
God, people are dumb.
John in Atlanta, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, John. Hello, John.
Hello.
Yes, hello.
I have a question for you, Stephanie, and it's a small proposal. I see that most of this healthcare stuff is being done for the uninsured and mainly for the elderly on the two ends of the debate. How about
not really? It's to help all of us that are insured or uninsured. I mean, you don't agree that we have to bring costs down and we have to make sure people can't get dropped if they get sick?
Stephanie, I almost lost my mother to breast cancer a couple years ago because the insurance companies were wanting to drop her.
Yep.
And I mean, so. But my thing is this. How about we take a scientific method approach to this? Take the uninsured and take the senior citizens and do a health care bill that only affects them at first and see where this goes from there. See how it works for them.
Well, yeah, Medicare.
Right, and we have Medicare now, John, but I think the problem is the whole system is broken for all of us, people that have insurance or people that don't. I mean, you don't agree that it just is broken. It's part of what's breaking our economy in general. 42 minutes after the hour, back with more from the health town halls, if you can stand it, as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is not normal.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, delirious from the shouting at the town halls. 47 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. George in Chicago writes, hi, Steph. We already pay for illegal people. The uninsured illegals are taken care of in emergency rooms that are 10 times the cost of a primary care physician. The unpaid cost is observed by the federal branch of the government paying back the hospitals. Everyone already pays for this. Thank you, George.
Yep.
One of the many things Arlen Specter had to... Nothing in any of the three bills would give insurance to illegal aliens. It's just one thing after another he had to knock down yesterday.
You say President Obama will not allow the health care plan to add any deficit, and yet the initial cost is over $1 trillion for a down payment. Who is going to pay for this bill?
Okay.
Funny, they weren't concerned about the deficit. Well, George Bush was
during the Iraq War. Yeah.
All right. If only there was someone in Pennsylvania that talks sense, we could what?
From
who
the
is it?
Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, it's Representative Allison Schwartz.
One of our very personal favorites.
Yes.
Good morning, Congresswoman.
Good morning.
Oh, that poor old Arlen Specter. I wanted to go spoon him. That was really. That, I mean, this is really getting to be just beyond belief, isn't it, what's happening at these town halls?
It has been very difficult, I think, for many of the members who are doing this. And, of course, as I read it, I was not there, but as I'm reading about Senator Specter's trying to say, I want to hear your question, I want you to state your question, I want to try and answer your question. But they were often not questions that were... so easy to answer. I mean, I think the issue about the, you know, is this adding to the deficit is a very legitimate question for people to ask. Yep. What you want is for them to be able to hear the answer.
Yeah, well, exactly. And that's the thing, Congresswoman. If it wasn't written down, we have seen these memos that have gone out to right-wing groups specifically telling them to disrupt, to shout you down, to make sure you don't even get your opening statement out. I mean, that's not the, you know, the purpose of these. And you know, now we're getting to the point where, you know, we've got a gun outside the president, the guy with a gun outside the president's town hall. We've got swastikas being painted on Democratic congressmen's offices. We've got death threats being phoned in. I haven't seen a debate, at least in my lifetime, like this. Have you?
I can't recall something quite like this myself, but it does seem, yeah, reminiscent of the kind of, you know, the positions people take when they absolutely don't want to have a conversation. You know, they just want to let you know that they don't like this, they don't like this because, you know, of a particular piece of it. But
well,
it's very orchestrated, and it's made it difficult to just have what is a very legitimate process.
Absolutely. Well, that's the problem. We're spending
hard. You know, it's complicated. Okay, tell me what it means to me. You know, I mean, that's a very legitimate question.
Well, I think what's so concerning is the deliberate misinformation that the right is putting out. So you guys are spending more time talking about things that are not in the bill, that are just, you know, being thrown out to fearmonger. I was saying, you know, one of the things. A lot of times the things people are shouting, it's proving our point. I don't know if you saw this woman that tried to make it personal for Senator Specter. Oh, a 70-something man like you with cancer wouldn't survive under this program. And the point is, he's under a government program. That's why he gets such good medical care.
I did say it to someone. It is the line that we all really have heard. I mean, I remember saying it early on that someone had said to me, look, I don't want government interfering with my health care. I like what I have. I have Medicare.
Yep.
And you want to say...
Yep.
Well, yep. Wait a minute, you know, what do you think Medicare is?
Yep.
Which goes to show that when it works.
Well,
this is
the other story. I mean, the two stories that stuck in my head were that this woman, you know, assaulting Arlen Specter verbally, and then this other woman had the picture of the president in a Nazi stormtrooper outfit, and it literally was talking about not wanting socialism, and her mother is chronically ill and on Medicare, and her sister was born with deformities on Medicare. I mean, do you know what I'm saying? You're going, how do you even have this debate with someone like that that doesn't understand that her loved ones are kept alive with government health insurance?
Yeah, exactly. And the other reality is that we have really made a very concerted point, and certainly President Obama has, is to say we are in fact going to continue a very strong reliance, if you want to call it on that, in the private sector and private insurance. Now, we want some new rules. We want to make sure that consumers are protected, that they know what their rights are, that they can get information, and that there's going to be some consistency about what benefits are, you know, what coverage you're going to have, some of your rights if you have a disease, if you have a pre-existing condition. And Americans agree with that.
Yep.
And, you know, when you say, wait a minute, you have a pre-existing condition, my sister has MS, thank God she's doing well. But, you know, she realizes that if she's without insurance for one day, she's at risk.
Yep. Well, I think the president couldn't have said it more clearly yesterday. He said, for all the chatter and yelling and the shouting and the noise, what you need to know is this. If you do have health insurance, we will make sure that no insurance company or government bureaucrat gets between you and the care you need. I mean, I don't know how much more clearly he can say it. I loved what he said at the end. He said, spread the facts. Let's get this done. I mean, that's
exactly.
The thing. If you can win on the facts, let's win on the facts. I mean, that's, I think you're right about, they seem to only have shouting on the other side. When they're just shouting, just say no, they're not having a conversation with you about what their concerns are.
I was just having a conversation with someone, and he said, well, all right, well, I'd like to talk a little bit about what we all agree on that we are all going to get done. This we tend to sort of only focus on the controversial, and that's understood. On the other hand, I said we've almost forgotten that what we're saying to people is you're going to have more protections if you have insurance. If you can't afford insurance, there is going to be some government subsidies for you to be able to buy private or public insurance. There's going to be plain language. You're going to know what benefits are provided. Everyone's going to be covered. You're going to keep your employer-based coverage. We're going to emphasize primary care. I mean, these things that people understand and care about, we sort of forgot to talk about because it's not controversial. I said, well, that doesn't mean it's not meaningful.
Mm-hmm.
it's pretty important.
You know, Congresswoman, we're obviously hearing just like a lot of noise and heat. And is the president right? Are we going to get this done? Are we going to get health care reform?
No, let me see. Personally, I sure hope so, and I am working to make it happen. Stephanie, we've talked about this before, and I hope that when we come back as members of Congress, we may make some changes because of what we've heard, but I hope that we do not let I hope that we're both responsive to what we've been hearing in a very constructive way, but that we also don't let this, please don't do anything about health care. Let's leave it the way it is. Let's keep it high cost and unreliable. Doesn't win the day.
Well, exactly. And the thing is,
we don't do anything.
You're certainly willing to listen to actual feedback, but not people reading talking points from groups funded by the insurance industry. That's...
blow up the whole idea that we are funding euthanasia is just so wrong.
Yeah, yeah. Didn't you love that the
made up? If that's what we're going to debate. The fact that we added a possibility that we would reimburse for a conversation you could have with your nurse practitioner or doctor about end of life decisions you might have to make someday.
At your choice or not.
At your choice or not,
right.
And then you can take action or not, is really quite different than what's being talked about.
That's what I mean.
Congresswoman,
when the President of the United States has to stand up at a town hall yesterday and say this.
This idea that somehow the House of Representatives voted for death panels that will basically pull the plug on grandma, I am not in favor of that.
These are hard choices for Americans to make in their own, personal setting. We all can tell stories about family members or friends who've been through such difficult decisions, and it is not one that we should or want to have government get involved in, and nor will we.
Yep, absolutely. Congresswoman Allison Schwartz of the great Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, thanks for taking time for us as always.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks so much. There she goes.
Yay!
Okay, let's go to Joe in West Virginia, went to a town hall. Hey, Joe, welcome. Hey, Joe. There you are.
I'm here.
As you lunge across the room. Hello.
Yes, Stephanie, I'm calling from West Virginia, where yesterday Senator Jay Rockefeller, who's been a strong proponent of health care reform, had a town hall meeting, and I thought the listeners might be interested in what was done there to control the situation, which went very well. This town hall had about 200 attendees and an overflow room where I had to sit, and there was no disruption at all. What was done was, first, there were tickets that had to be obtained. They were free of charge, but there was they were open to anybody who wanted to get them. First come, first serve. Had to call ahead of time. I called too late myself, but that put me in the overflow room. But then there was a sign there saying people could not carry placards, banners, signs into the room, and that disruption would not be tolerated. Mm-hmm. That was all. It wasn't like a bunch of troopers were standing around guarding things.
Yep. And no, I read another congressman did that, and I, you know, look, if that's what we got to do to have an actual conversation about health care, then that's what we got to do. All right, 57 minutes after the hour, Mel Gibson's Russian girlfriend says she is not a homewrecker.
Oh, really?
No. Okay. We'll hear from her next in Tinsel Talk and much more. 57 minutes after the hour, The Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there, executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice of Deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Oh, the town halls are, in case you missed it overnight, now including regular use of swastikas and Nazi analogies, and, oh, people with guns outside the president's town hall, and what else? Just general shouting and mayhem. The president yesterday at his
town hall. For all the chatter and the yelling and the shouting and the noise, what you need to know is this. If you don't have health insurance, you will finally have quality, affordable options once we pass reform. If you do have health insurance, we will make sure that no insurance company or government bureaucrat gets between you and the care that you need.
Okay, that sounds pretty radical and socialistic and communistical.
And Nazi-ic.
Okay. Charles Krauthammer making our point on the Burr Show.
I think people ought to be open, vocal, demonstrate, shout, and scream outside the hall, inside the hall, you're civil. And the reason is a tactical one. You're giving the Democrats and the liberals an excuse, a distraction that they are using against those who correctly, I think, oppose the plan. Yes.
Okay, or unless you're an employee of Fox News and then you're given a show on which to yell and scream like Glenn Beck.
Barack Obama said, you want to know my policies? Then you have to look at the people I surround myself with. And I surround myself with these people. So I said, let's look at health care. Who is he surrounding himself with? Mm. People, the czars are people that want sterilants and drinking water, population control, forced abortions, take babies away from unfit parents, a sliding scale where a 2-year-old's not worth as much as a 15-year-old, and an 85-year-old, you got to have 14 85-year-olds to equal one teenager. Mm. Now, is that trading in fear, or is that say, let's look at what they have said on record?
That's the rants of a lunatic.
Yes, I think the point of all that is...
You're lying, wow. Sack of crap.
And furthermore...
You are an idiot!
And if you were on my phone right now... I'll tell you to get off. Just to remind you that whatever he said, as Jim just mentioned, he's a lunatic.
Yes.
In fact, you know what?
Completely out of his mind.
I could hear both versions of Get Off My Phone. Do we have the Stones version as well? Why not?
Get off my phone! Get off my phone! Get off my phone, you little finhead! Get off my phone! I don't care. You people don't care. I'm going to lose my mind today.
You better pick your head up and put it back on your shoulders because we're throwing them over the ground right now.
Okay, thank you. Oh, boy. Hey, things are getting heated over in France where they have that awful national thing, healthcare, Jim. A Russian woman frustrated at failing to obtain French nationality hurled a ceramic cup at the Mona Lisa.
Oh,
but
dear.
Did not damage Leonardo da Vinci's famed portrait. There's a, you know, there's a thing in front of it. There's a
glass.
Screen.
It's encased in
something.
Yeah, bulletproof glass.
Yes.
Or not teacup proof. So they may have to look into that.
Hmm.
Other museums in France have had problems as well. In 2007, a man broke into one and punched and damaged a painting by Monet. Not Monet! He's my favorite.
That's going to cost him a lot of money. Yeah.
Okay. Hey, Squeezy, here's something for you to do today. The pornography business centered in California's San Fernando Valley is taking a hit because of the economy and free internet sites. Adult film star Savannah Stern, you know her.
Oh, she's good.
She said, at least five girls I haven't seen in a while come up to me and said, Savannah, are you working? I had to say, no, not really. And they all said, yeah, I'm not either. So my point is, Jim, a lot of porn stars wandering around the valley with nothing to do.
Yeah.
Looking for a little...
Okay. They may have to go into a different line of services, if you know what I'm saying.
Some people go to Disneyland. Jim's going to Woodland Hills after this.
Going to the valley.
Woo!
Actually, I went as in Starbucks in Woodland Hills, and I saw some faces that looked familiar. But
yeah, like,
they had their clothes on, so it's
kind of hard
to tell. I was
going to say, the faces? You recognize their faces? Really?
The Gold's Gym in North Hollywood is just full of porn stars. Seriously.
Bend over, baby. Yeah. Oh, now I recognize
and it. And also, right up the street here, there is a bar that Rebecca sometimes goes to for karaoke.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
She calls it Porn Star
Night on Tuesday nights.
Porn Star Karaoke, because the porn stars go there.
Yes, I've been there.
To sing karaoke.
Mm-hmm. I feel our tourism industry surging upward.
I met Gage one Tuesday night.
Gage?
She's a porn star.
Oh. He's heard. He didn't see him.
Someone I know went there.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. Let's check some other There's no
business like show business. It's time for Tinsel Talk. Let's find out what's going on in Hollywood with Stephanie Miller.
Thank you very much. In a completely unrelated story, and we don't know where Jim was, a man convicted of groping Minnie Mouse at Disney World.
Oh, no.
A 6-year-old man has been convicted of groping a woman in a Minnie Mouse costume at Walt Disney World in Florida. The victim said she had to do everything possible to keep his hands off her breasts. With those big hands, you know, you got those big, cartoon Minnie hands.
Near
All right, we have, who do we have?
We have the accused in court here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In the case of the People versus John William Moyer, the court will now come to order. Mr. Moyer, how do you plead?
Not guilty, Your Honor.
You deny that you groped Minnie Mouse at Disney World?
No, Your Honor.
So you plead guilty to the charge?
No, Your Honor. I plead guilty to the charge of falling victim to her mousy charms. Guilty of succumbing to the siren call of that red polka dot dress, barely concealing her supple, pouting, mousy breasts. Those yellow shoes, which only enhanced the erotic sweep of her little mousy feet.
Oh.
Those gleaming, innocent white gloves. The mind reels at the possibilities. What those three fingers could do to my dangly bits. I don't expect the world to understand. They might accuse me of bestiality. That's such an ugly word. I know Minnie doesn't judge me for my foibles. She's been there. After all, Mickey himself has admitted,
oh, I never said Mickey was crazy. I said she was bleeping goofy.
Thank you.
The court stands adjourned, so I can go throw up. I threw in
he didn't. You threw in the goofy joke. Okay.
Yeah.
And finally, Mel Gibson's girlfriend has rejected claims that the Oscar-winning star was happily married when she began a relationship with him. She was portrayed as the other woman. Perhaps because she was the other woman.
Yeah.
But the 39-year-old has now denied this was the case, insisting she first knew Gibson in a professional capacity.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was
so
happily...
So he paid for it.
I thought he was happily married until I was reassured otherwise. And then it happened.
Right.
Oh, it's so magical.
It just happened.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We have... who do we have?
We have Oksana.
Oh, sure.
I am not homewrecker. Mel was not happily married. I have to know how much time I had. I had bad experience with TMZ. Let me explain. I am sick of lies coming from mainstream media that I am homewrecker. That was based on statement of one relative who was lying because Mel has not produced original birth certificate because he was born in Australia, not in U.S., as he claims. I am sick of lies. Let me finish. Let me finish. You don't... You can't... No, okay. Okay, no, you can't... Let me... No, okay. You're talking and... No, don't shoot me with tranquilizer dart. You... No, you are being offensive. Let me finish. Let me finish. Okay, okay.
Get as much mileage out of oily taint as I can.
Yes,
every
absolutely.
Russian woman
anything
in the news
Russian.
Is oily taint. That's... the birther lady.
Yeah.
That's all for Tinsel Talk. I'm here all week. Tell your friends if you'd like more Jim Ward, Paul Dwall.
Jim Ward's apocryphal, but true. Thailand, StephanieMiller.com. Check it out. Buy the album. Thank you.
Thank you. Good night. Okay, Simon Cowell re-upping for three more seasons at American Idol. Wow, they found some extra cash in the couch for him. $45 million a year.
Only $45 million.
Up from $36 million a year last under his current contract, but you can't live on that.
How could I possibly get by on $36 million?
Puller, as he says, only wanted $10 million a year, and she was offered a half that, $5 million, and that's and then she tweeted goodbye and. Okay.
Whatever.
And collapsed into a pool of her own sick. We assume it was her own sick.
I imagine she just did when she heard of Simon Cowell's deal.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess they do have a little extra scratch. All right, Tom Cruise's son, oh, this is kind of awesome, is going to be in a remake of Red Dawn, one of our personal favorites.
It's a little dated.
Yeah, who were, I mean...
His son Connor. I don't know if he's as high-strung as Daddy. But
the commies aren't really...
The Soviet Union ceased to exist.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the new... Yeah, exactly. Well, he will play Daryl, the youngest in the group of high school students who wage war against foreign invaders. So maybe
Wolverines!
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yes. The Patrick Swayze, Charlie Sheen. Loved it. Red Dawn.
And don't forget C. Thomas Howell.
C. Thomas Howell.
Who could forget Una?
I don't know. It'll be probably a new Foreign Menace, I would think. Not
a friend of mine is working on that film. They're filming in Detroit.
Really?
Yes. Uh-huh.
We'll have to have some Connor Cruise stories.
I'll see if he has any.
All right. Let's
I want the truth!
All right, let's go to Mark. And what's the line I always get wrong that's not from Red Dawn, but I think it is? What's the famous line from Red... Is that Wolverine? Is that the line I'm thinking of?
Honestly, I never saw the movie.
What about Game Over? That's not...
No.
That's
no.
something else.
That was from Aliens.
Oh.
Oh.
Just before Bill Paxton takes the mask off.
Exactly.
Stephanie.
Okay, Mark in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hello, Mark. Hello, Mark. Mm. Mark, going once, going twice. Let's go to Doug in Oakland. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Doug. Hi, Doug.
Hello. Yes, I feel badly for Chris from time to time for being accused of being right-wing Thule, but then he absorbs right-wing Thule talking points and spits them out.
Exactly.
The whole circumstance around being able to compete as insurance companies across state lines, state by state, states are allowed to regulate insurance companies. Here in California, we have particularly good regulation of insurance. It's very important that we maintain the ability to do that, otherwise insurance companies can become very abusive. And it's really important to understand that insurance companies can compete in every single state. The hospital that I worked at, I only had about four or five insurance companies effectively competing for business, because what's happened is insurance companies, of their own decision, have allowed there to be fiefdoms set up. In other words, it increases profit if they say, okay, you can have this community, we'll take that community.
Yep.
They do that intentionally.
Yep. Well, exactly. That's the whole idea of the for-profit healthcare industry.
I was just throwing something out there.
Yeah. Well, you also threw out another truly thing that you implied that the president's audience was screened like George Bush's were, and you don't have any evidence of that whatsoever.
You don't have any evidence that they weren't.
Janet in Boston.
Touche!
Janet in Boston, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, Steph. As a licensed educational psychologist, I think that Congress members who are confronted with these people need to take a page from how to deal with bullies. And the most important thing is not to argue or disagree. It only fuels them, and they keep going. Instead, they need to find a way to agree with these people and start their answer with a yes. For example, when that woman went after Arlen Specter about restoring the Constitution, he should have said, yes, you're right, I agree with you. The Constitution is the most important thing. And that would take the wind out of her sails. And then this next step is to put her on the defensive and force her to go beyond those talking points, because these people probably can't, by saying, you know, that's, you're right, the Constitution. Tell me some ways that I can help restore the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
Because the talking points are very shallow.
Well,
and my guess is these people don't know how to go beyond them.
Right. Well, that's what... But that's what I was going to say, is that I hear you, but I'm not sure it would work, because people that are just shouting and regurgitating talking points, they're not really interested in the conversation.
No.
So I don't know if it matters
exactly
what they say.
That's the point. They're not interested. And by saying, yes, you're right, and give me an example, it throws it back on them, and they have nowhere to go. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, you don't know how well this works until you practice it. So, like, if you said to
I agree with you that many of those people are desperately in need of psychologists. And if you could be there at most of the town halls to have them show you on the doll.
Can I be the official licensed educational psychologist of
Stephanie
please. Miller?
Yes, please. Bring a doll and have them show you on the doll where the bad socialist touched you. 20 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number.
You would have to go there.
Free from anywhere. Okay, we will be back with more from the president from his town hall yesterday as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I know it's a tad silly, but the crew really likes it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 25 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Mary in Seattle, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Mayor.
Hey, Steph and Mooks. I'm a former hospice nurse, so I really get the end-of-life care bit. And I think we're making a mistake in the way we're describing this to people and how these poor elderly folks are getting so scared. And I think we need to turn the talking points on the right back at them and say, if we don't pass this health care reform with this ability for people to have coverage if they have a conversation with their doctor, someone else will be making the decisions for them. Because
right.
I've been in rooms with patients who weren't able to do that, and their family members are literally fighting and screaming about, pull the plug, don't pull the plug.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have to really emphasize this, that if you don't do this, someone else will be making the decision, and it won't be you. So I hope that you guys can get the word out about that.
So, Mary, your point is the president is not proposing firing squads for our elderly relatives.
Oh, Sarah Palin, if I could get up with her, I'd wring her neck. I mean, that was the worst thing I've ever heard. I mean,
and she just lost her fancy public health care by resigning.
Yeah.
So,
She'll need some health care after that ringing of her neck.
All right, the president yesterday at his town hall. The president yesterday.
This is not about putting the government in charge of your health insurance. We're not talking about cutting Medicare benefits. I'm not promoting a single payer plan. I won't sign a bill that adds to the deficit or the national debt.
That pretty much says it all right there.
Yeah, he pretty much sums it up. Mm-hmm. It just was knocking down one claim after another.
This is being portrayed as Obama collecting an enemies list. And I just want to be clear that all we're trying to do is answer questions.
He also assailed insurance companies. He opened his speech by saying Americans too often are held hostage by insurance companies that deny or drop their coverage or charge fees they cannot afford. He said, I believe it's wrong. It is bankrupting families and businesses, and that's why we're going to pass health insurance reform in 2009. Ooh, I hope he's right.
I think private insurers should be able to compete. They do it all the time. If you think about it, UPS and FedEx are doing just fine. Right? They are. I mean, it's the post office that's always having problems.
I don't know if that was the best analogy, because the post office is kind of a government entity of sorts.
His point is
I know his point.
Went on to talk about the fear-mongering going on the other side. The president yesterday.
Every time we come close to passing health insurance reform, the special interests fight back with everything they've got. They use their influence. They use their political allies to scare and mislead the American people. They start running ads. This is what they always do.
And speaking of fearmongers, Sean Hannity coming up next.
Oh, boy.
He's helping. He's a helper on this whole healthcare debate. 28 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Thank you.
Stephanie Miller.
Holy smokes! You'll need booze!
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. You could have seen my pathetic rack next week live on CNN, but I'm not sure what with the breaking news this morning. But I'm trying to get confirmation on this, Chris.
Okay.
I will be appearing on The Ed Show on MSNBC live from New York next week. However, TV Newser is reporting that CNN will no longer book radio talk show hosts.
Mm-hmm. Aren't you already booked?
Well, I was.
On Campbell Brown?
Yes, I was. Twice next week. However, they apparently want to uphold the journalistic standards that Lou Dobbs is...
Who has a radio show
Who
as well.
Who has a radio show.
And Bill Bennett. He's a CNN contributor.
A paid CNN contributor.
So they don't count.
TV News are reporting that the CNN president, who, by the way, will be unbelievably handsome and talented, if this proves not to be true.
Yes.
And if not...
And I'm sure he's well hung, too.
Uh-huh. He has asked producers to avoid booking radio talk show hosts. Complex issues require world-class reporting, like Lou Dobbs does, who has a radio show.
And Bill Bennett.
Yes. He's quoted as saying that talk radio hosts too often add to the noise and that what they say is all too predictable. This means other talk show hosts who appear regularly on CNN probably won't be in the near future, including names like...
Stephanie Miller.
I mentioned by name.
You are.
Michael Medved. Apparently.
Stephanie Miller.
I dare say you're the most unpredictable person they have on there.
I was going to say, I get thrown off shows every other day for saying something completely unpredictable.
Yet they're keeping wretched people like Bill Bennett and Lou Dobbs?
I'm trying to get confirmation if this is true, because if it is, it's ridiculous, in my personal opinion. Being says that Lou Dobbs has a radio show on which he still promotes the Birther Fairy. And he's one of their top journalists? Mm-hmm.
Has Lou Dobbs produced a birth certificate?
I don't know. I'll ask him next time I'm there, or not. All right. By the way, the other breaking news I didn't know about, apparently, at least I was on The Daily Show.
Yeah, you were.
Not as a guest, of course, but... Mama, you hit the big time. Your face with a whole lot of CNN makeup was on Jon Stewart the other night.
Yeah. You were on there as an example of what's wrong with the media. So,
see? And that's probably why I'm not on TV anymore. Thanks a lot, Jon Stewart.
I posted a link to that YouTube video up in on the Twitter feed, and you can find that right on the front page of StephanieMiller.com.
Maybe it's because his writers are always stealing from us, and we accuse him of that on a regular basis. So,
Jim, thanks. Thanks for killing what's left of my pathetic career. Susan in Alabama, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Suze.
Susan from Alabama?
That's you.
Hey, I just thought of one thing, and you would be able to confirm this. Aren't Sean and Rush and Glenn Beck and all those guys members of AFTRA?
They may not be, they may not. It depends on if their stations or their show are AFTRA shows.
Oh, okay. I just figured those union-busting guys probably are members of AFTRA.
Yeah, they may be themselves union thugs.
They're making more money than the entire membership of AFTRA.
Yeah, combined.
Just themselves.
Something tells me Fox News is not a union shop.
Think so? Okay, speaking of which, Sean Hannity on the town hall.
You know, I'm watching all of these mobsters and all these un-Americans, people speak out with their swastikas, according to Nancy Pelosi.
Uh-huh. Yeah. According to photographs.
I see veterans. I see the elderly. I see this woman that we just had on, a 35-year-old woman that has not historically been that politically active. The passion is there.
Right.
Do you think the Democrats are tone deaf?
Yeah, by the way, did you see the one woman that was just an ordinary housewife who happens to be the head of the Republican Party in her county?
And it's still on her website is still up.
Yeah.
Nancy Pelosi says so-called swastika. There was more yesterday. You can see them.
That Republican woman was actually promoting the guy who was beaten by the Democrat whose town hall meeting she was trying to destroy.
Yeah.
So, bit of a conflict of interest there.
Yeah.
Ordinary housewife, my ass.
Rick in Arlington, Virginia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Rick.
Hello, Steffi. I'd like to say that I'm a federal retiree, and I have a great government plan because I was able to carry my federal employee health benefits over to retirement.
Mm.
And also, you know, open season in the fall, I can switch plans. And if I move around the country, I can take it with me. I'm, you know, not denied. And so the government does know how to run a program.
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, you know, the president had to say it. again yesterday that Medicare, I mean, that's the biggest thing that people still, what are they not understanding, that Medicare is a government program? I keep mentioning this woman because I was so struck by it, because she's the one with the picture of the president in a Nazi stormtrooper outfit that said, I don't want socialism. And her mother, she said her mother made the sign, who's terminally ill, who's on Medicare.
Medicare, right, yeah.
And she has a sister who was born deformed, who's on Medicare. Obama had to told the story again, how he received a letter from the woman who said, keep your hands off my Medicare. He reminded the audience that Medicare is operated by the government.
The problem is those people aren't hearing that. Their heads are full of Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and all those other jerks.
Okay.
Jerks?
Ryan,
come up with something stronger than jerks.
Yeah, but I can't say that on the radio.
Ryan in Toronto, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
I just want to talk about the guy you had on earlier talking about all those extra taxes we have to pay in Ontario.
Oh, the $750 a year.
Yeah, it's something that was brought in by the premier a few years ago because he had to clean up the mess and the huge deficits left by 8 years of a conservative government.
Right.
Something I think you guys are familiar with.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to keep it public, he brought in a graduated plan that people who make less than $20,000 a year don't pay for, you know, and it goes up as your income goes up, as I think progressive taxes generally do. So, you know, we had to have that in order to make the plan stay public and stay as inexpensive as it is.
Right.
So let me get this straight. That guy pays $750 a year to get free health care, essentially?
Pretty much, depending on what his income is. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. What a hellhole. I'm sorry. So, I'm surprised you could even afford a phone to call me.
Well, I'm struggling right now.
So were you using Diebold machines up there when that administration got elected?
Exactly.
That was,
Jonathan in L.A., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, John.
Hey.
Hi.
You doing? You might be missing a story because you're on the air. On the centrist TV stations, I think CNN and last night on MSNBC, they're giving airtime for these interviews to the people who are blocking up and making it impossible to have the conversations in the town hall meetings. So as a result of being non-verbal, they're getting a chance to be verbal and say their issues on TV and given this huge platform, whereas the progressives have no such time to say such things.
Well, that's exactly it. Somebody was writing about that, right, that I was quoting yesterday. This is the vicious circles, and the media bites every time, and that becomes the story, these lunatics, and they portray it like, oh, the whole country is outraged and angry about this health care program. Can I have my fine American music? At least one honest right-winger, and he's pretty far right. John Shadegg, Republican of Arizona.
Yeah, he is, like, really, really far right.
He agreed with Nancy Pelosi and Steny Hoyer. He said it would, in fact, be un-American to disrupt a town hall. That's what they're talking about, disrupting a town hall. Not voicing your opinion at a town hall, but trying to shut a town hall down is un-American, obviously. I hadn't even read all this. Republicans, by the way, rushed to agree with all their right-wing, you know, they twisted the column's meaning to suggest that Pelosi and Hoyer were calling anyone who disagrees with them un-American. The boner, of course, jumped into the fray, released a statement calling the column outrageous and reprehensible. Mike Pence, the right-wing tool of Indiana, said, I, like most Americans, would find that kind of a characterization of citizens exercising their First Amendment rights to be offensive. Okay. All right. And by the way, then Shadegg, although he said it is un-American to disrupt a town hall, he also went on then to say, I think it's un-American for the Speaker of the House to claim that everyone who doesn't like her bill is being paid for by the insurance industry. Once again, something she never said. She didn't say that. But there is obviously empirical evidence that many of the people that are there to shut down the town halls are paid for by the insurance industry. FreedomWorks is a wholly owned subsidiary of the private health insurance industry. Okay, 42 minutes after the hour. I need to untwist my panties.
I think you do.
You're not wearing any.
If I had some, mentally, I am. 42 minutes after the hour, right back with more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is not normal.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Ah, It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 46 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. David in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the President's Town Hall. Hey, David.
Oh, hi. So I was going to say, 75% of the Obama Town Hall audience was actually drawn from random offline, online.
Right. I think your point is that, as usual, Mama's right and Chris is wrong, right?
Yeah. So you can find that on the White House.
I'm already getting lots of news stories like that. The audience was not pre-screened like George Bush's.
Yeah, it wasn't pre-screened. It's the fact that I think it was probably peer pressure. The fact that most of the audience liked Obama to begin with, and probably the
You know, I'm sorry, but there's got to be a little more respect for the office than, you know, some of these. The behavior we're seeing at some of these other town halls, you know?
Right, and they respected that Obama has a certain degree of gravitas being the president to begin with.
Right.
So they weren't about to shout him down, too. But.
Right. Yep. Anyway.
Well, let me just say that I didn't say that people were screened going in.
You implied it in your Thule way. President Obama says he is no big spending Obama, telling Republicans and other critics he won't sign a health care bill that adds to the deficit. He has to keep saying this over and over and over again. This is another talking point. It's too expensive. We can't. It's too... Obama said he made a good point. He said that overhaul legislation will be paid for, unlike the prescription drug law a few years ago that was backed by a Republican administration and a Republican Congress, which was a big giveaway, right, Jim, to the drug companies.
Huh, what a shock.
Speaking of shocks, did you hear the breaking news? Why, it turns out Karl Rove was involved in the U.S. attorney fires, Jim, after all.
That's crazy.
Deeply involved. According to documents, in the firing of a U.S. attorney in New Mexico, according to White House emails and transcripts of closed-door testimony released yesterday, documents show that staffers in Rove's office were actively seeking to have U.S. Attorney David Iglesias removed. In one email, a Rove aide sent an email to another Rove aide saying, "I would really like to move forward with getting rid of New Mexico, a U.S. attorney." Iglesias, of course, one of nine U.S. attorneys fired in part for being not sufficiently loyal to the Republican administration. Iglesias said, "It's exactly what I feared. Over 2 years ago, I said all roads lead to Rove. I've said consistently he was highly involved, and now there is evidence there."
Yes.
John Conyers, the patron saint of the Stephanie Miller Show of the House Judiciary Committee, the chairman, said, "After all the delay, despite all the obfuscation, lies and spins, this basic truth can no longer be denied. Karl Rove and his cohorts at the Bush White House were the driving force behind several of these firings, which were done for improper reasons."
Lies in what?
Obfuscation.
You're drunk.
So... speaking of the attorney firings, the torture czar Alberto Gonzalez has not spoken with George Bush since he left office.
I don't have to speak. He knows what I think. Mm-hmm. And I know where he lives, which may be why he put a gate up around his house.
Yes.
Speaking of probably that. To protect him from Alberto Gonzalez.
He was successful in getting the gate up in his neighborhood, Bush was.
Yeah, because apparently lots
there's
of...
a lot of people who aren't too fond of me for some reason. Can't imagine why.
Damn, there goes our plan to go to his house and shout him down.
All right.
I just hope the defense is TP-proof.
Senator Joe Lieberman, by the way, urging the U.S. Attorney General against any investigations into the CIA and the intelligence community, even the watered-down one, to just get the, people that tortured a little too much.
That's okay. Yeah, that's okay. That's okay. Ah, that's too much. Too far.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
All right. Speaking of Republicans in trouble, a Republican senator wants Governor Mark Sanford to be impeached. South Carolina Governor Mark Sanford, already under fire for his extramarital relationship, should be impeached for abusing state finances, according to a Republican state senator.
Yes.
Senator David Thomas wrote to leaders of the Republican-controlled Senate accusing the governor of violating state regulations. You know, he's that thrifty governor that... insisted you use both sides of the post-it, he rejected the stimulus funds.
Which makes no sense at all.
No.
Because it's useless as a post-it.
To this. Yeah.
You're not going to see what's on the other side.
Sticky on one. That's why they put the sticky on the... Okay.
Wow.
All right. Bill Clinton celebrated his 63rd birthday in...
Vegas, baby! Vegas!
Woo-hoo! He was there as a speaker at the National Clean Energy Summit.
Whatever.
That was the only clean thing about it. Yeah, I got progressively dirtier after that.
No, she's in the conga. Hillary's in the conga. She was not able to...
The conga?
No.
The conga line?
Yeah. She missed the celebration. He was there. There was an impressive turnout. Al Gore was there. T. Boone Pickens. Turns out Mr. Clinton decided to celebrate with dinner at one of the city's hottest and priciest restaurants at the MGM Grand Hotel. Our friend Paul Begala was there. We'll have to find out. Well, maybe what stays in you know, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
That's what they say.
Paul Begala will tell us.
You think?
Paul Begala was there, and John Podesta, both of whom we know.
I love this part. Pickens, he pops up everywhere. I don't trust him.
Well, he was, wasn't he part of the Swift boat?
Yeah.
Yes, wow. He's Swift boat. No, don't put him. I hope Al Gore or Al Franken wasn't invited to the party, because that would have been fisticuffs.
Yeah.
As of Monday afternoon, it was not clear that Mr. Gore was going to be on hand. I just get the feeling they don't invite Al.
No.
One of Mr. Clinton's friends said they were told Gore was leaving town, so he couldn't come to the...
I'm a bit of a buzzkill. When they suggest going to see strippers, I say, well, you know, that sort of thing got me in trouble once, and I don't think...
Yeah. I think he's kind of the wet blanket of the group. Yeah.
I can't imagine partying with
him. He'd rather go home and plunge or kiss Tipper.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think you'd enjoy a lap dance. I don't know. Just
no.
All right, so the good news is the North Korean leader Kim Jong-il told Bill Clinton last week that Pyongyang wants to improve its ties and hold bilateral talks with the U.S.
Heard that before.
I've got to improve my ties. I only got a clip-on. I never learned how to tie one correctly.
U.S. officials say Mr. Kim's overture wouldn't alter President Obama's strategy in pushing Pyongyang to give up its nuclear weapons program. Hillary Clinton said, though, maybe without it being part of the mission in any way, the fact that this was done will perhaps lead the North Koreans to recognize that they can have a positive relationship with us. Oh, right. Oh, did you see the Hillary laughed at somebody asked her about John Bolton's criticism of the... Fareed Zakaria brought up John Bolton, who said the high-profile rescue was rewarding hostage takers. Clinton laughed wholeheartedly. Zakaria said, should we even go on? And she said, no, you really shouldn't.
Oh!
No, he's a moron.
And furthermore, clang.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then she made another funny. She said, you know, you mentioned somebody who, heavens, if President Obama walked on water, he'd say he couldn't swim. Okay. Alrighty. Hey, you know what? One of our favorite Congress people I wanted to mention, the rockin' Congresswoman from Illinois, Jan Schakowsky,
yes,
called on the State Department to stop doing business with Z. You know what that is?
That's Blackwater.
Yeah, that's Blackwater. Yeah. They changed it. Now it's Z. So you don't know who it is.
Zima.
Yeah. She asked Secretary of State Hillary Clinton whether the State Department had just signed a new $20 million contract with Z for Iraq, saying she's very concerned the State Department may be signing new security contracts with them, both in Iraq and Afghanistan. In a completely unrelated story, two men who claim to work for the security firm formerly known as Blackwater, now
Z, or K,
accused the company's founder and his employees of murder and other extraordinary criminal activities, according to affidavits filed in federal court this week. They charge Blackwater founder Eric Prince with promoting a culture of lawlessness that included routine murderous violence against Iraqis, mm-hmm, wife swapping, sex ring, use of child prostitutes, and weapons smuggling in bags of dog food.
Yeah.
In your name, America.
And, yeah, and he actively wants to start the Crusades again. He wants a Christian wave of Muslim killing because he thinks that's God's will.
He
can't wait to fulfill that.
Speaking of God's will or not, guess who's getting the Presidential Medal of Freedom? Harvey Milk.
Yay!
Posthumously, of course.
Sean Penn selected for him?
Which, by the way, taking it back from the likes of George Tenet, we're restoring the dignity of the Presidential Medal of Freedom, which I thought that was good timing with the recent the psychologists, you know, the American Psychological Association, as you know, recently declared that mental health professionals should not tell gay clients that they can become straight through therapy or other treatments. You remember Ted Haggard, I think, went through that.
Fabulous. We don't have to debate about what we should think about homosexual activity. It's written in the Bible.
Fabulous.
I think I know what you did last night.
Fabulous.
They put themselves firmly on record in opposition to so-called reparative therapy, which seeks to... No solid evidence exists that such change is likely, says the report, and some research suggests efforts to produce change could be harmful, including depression and suicidal tendencies. The APA had criticized reparative therapy in the past, but a six-member task force added weight to its position by examining 83 studies on sexual orientation change conducted since 1960. You know my personal favorite one of those groups, Chris. I can't remember the first ones.
Oh.
The reparative. The two guys that founded it, Jim?
Oh, yeah.
I think it was Exodus, wasn't it?
Yes.
Exodus.
The two guys that founded that, the reparative therapy ex-gay movement?
Yes.
They had their own Exodus.
They ran off together in a gay way. In a really gay way.
Yeah, their heels hitting their butt as they ran.
All right.
Sounds like it's patching a tire or something. Let's just repair that heterosexuality. Just kind of restore it.
Yeah.
I don't think it was there in the first place.
Go fetch me some heterosexuality.
All right. Be sure to tune in tomorrow in this very hour to listen to the pit bull of healthcare reform, Representative Elliot Engel of New York, one of our very favorites. That's it for us today. I'd like to thank executive producer, engineer, boy toy, Chris LeBoy, voice deity, Jim Ward, associate producer, Rebecca Baker on phones and drums. See you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.